Lucano, here we are.
He arrived and embraced them with a rough tenderness, which was the only way he knew. He examined them one by one and gave each girl an effusive kiss on the forehead.
Are you all right? Yanni and Yana, perfect. Miga, Paka, Nina, how are you? And the newborn?
The girls felt like they were back to normal. The presence of their uncle Lucano gave them security and they felt protected. For them, he was the uncle who got them out of trouble and knew how to keep secrets. The girls spoke in unison, telling the adventure of their lives, flying through the skies, falling intact on bushes that looked like cotton. Each one had a different version. Lucano smiled and let each one of them get it off their chests.
Then we flew, as if we had wings. We flew over the pines, and there was a moment when I wanted to be a bird, to keep flying, but we started to fall and my stomach went up to my ears. You don't know how scared I felt, said Miga.
You've experienced a magical moment, haven't you?
Magical? It was a nightmare.
But it was magical and perfect. One more meter and you would have fallen into the Santa River, right? Either it was pure luck or an energy from the universe intervening to save you. So you all earned one more life. Appreciate this gift. Our numbers dropped in April 1971 when my dad suddenly died. Surprisingly, little changed after that. Clearly, ordinary is ordinary and challenging is challenging, regardless of how many parents you have. 5 years later, we almost lost our mother too. She was in hospital for what felt like an eternity. I missed her terribly, writing her letters every day, begging her to come home. I was only 10 and didn't understand how sick she really was. I have no idea what would have happened to us if she died. We had no family anywhere on the island. I had friends in children's homes, so we might have ended up in the one 10 minutes down the road. Horrific stories of child abuse would later emerge from there. Stories that would make the national news. We had such a very close escape, all four of us. Bailey looked rattled, but tried to maintain his composure. Counsel paused and then asked, "How would you describe the person who did that?"
"Not very nice."
"It is appalling." Counsel asked whether appalling was as far as he was prepared to go. "Would you think it was animal-like?"
"No."
There was a sense of rapt attention in the courtroom and a degree of shock. Nobody, including the reporters, had heard anything of these details before. Bailey, instead of taking on the facts, which were apparently indisputable, attempted to somewhat deflect from his responsibility for this atrocious behaviour, as it dawned on him that the attacks made on him, as he alleged by the media, might well be minor by comparison.
One day, the rapping astronaut, known as Austro, woke up from his bed, as usual, went downstairs and ate his breakfast, as usual. But then he noticed something that wasn't usual. Want to know what? You'll find out later. But on the fourth day, Bob, a friend of his, was becoming suspicious.
"Are you sick?"
signaled Bob. Austro ignored it.
"Are you experiencing some sort of sickness?"
He gestured again, later. Austro ignored it once again. You see, Bob was quite, well, stupid. Finally, he reached the castle. It was enormous. All of the towers at the very top were as sharp as needles. He turned back to face the sun. He had to make sure it was sunset. It was. So he turned again to the castle and made his first steps inside. He was right. His Majesty the King was cold-hearted.
"Oh well, this guy is just trash."
His Majesty the King started gesturing, having looked at Austro up and down.
"Since I don't have time, I'm going to be straightforward. You are banished from the entire galaxy."
The poor boy was sent into space right away. Austro was finally home. And that's the story of how Austro was banned from an entire galaxy and ended up loving rapping instead of hating it. Sometimes a change that seems awful might be exactly what you need.